Lord, we want to thank you for Francis. We want to thank you for the ability you've given him to teach your word. And we pray that the Holy Spirit would give us listening ears now to what he's prepared for us this afternoon. Amen.
Exciting, isn't it? See children coming into church here to be blessed and to be part of the Christian family here. And I want to just have a quick look just how important both families are and children are to God. It's interesting as you read through the Bible just how important families and children are. There's so much teaching for us there. And in the widest sense, God calls us all to be one family, sons and daughters of God, joint heirs with Christ, no matter what age we are, how young, how old. In fact, we find no grandchildren in heaven, no husbands or wives, but all children of a loving God. So here on earth, how precious are these children to God? Matthew 19:13. Then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. It's interesting, isn't it? Some churches, children are not very welcome. But it's good to hear, too, we see youngsters coming and enjoying Christian worship and fellowship. Jesus went on, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." When he placed his hands on them, he went on from there. Even more serious, Mark 9:42. If anyone causes one of these little ones, it's one of the children, those who believe in me to stumble, be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Now, we read those words quite often, I think, but the seriousness of them, I sometimes think we overlook. Can you just imagine from that just how serious children are to God? It's very important that we get hold of that. And bringing up children, too. As parents, we have a very special calling from God to bring up our children as Christians. Deuteronomy chapter 4, teach the things of God to your children. And this is important, but it's also just as important to set good examples, both at home and here in our church life. And in the Christian context, it's not always easy to practice what we preach, but God calls us to. It's not always easy. But what better example can you give children than to see you as parents coming to church regularly, week by week, eager to come? I know some parents are not here, but another church I've been to are really reluctant. Oh, we'd better go to church today. Oh, a bit boring, isn't it? Let's sort of drag the kids along and hope somebody looks after them for them. Not a very good example. When we come as parents here, we should come with enthusiasm, with vigor, and with zeal, because we're meeting here with a living God. It's so important we actually get a hang of that and we bring up our children to see how excited we are about coming here to meet with God, with the risen Christ. One hears quite a few horror stories as well, tales of strict parents who actually drag their children literally to church on a Sunday and tell them how loving God is, then give them hell during Monday to Saturday. Then they wonder why they're not eager to come to church when they grow up into teenage years. The Bible encourages children to honour their parents. And I've heard that mentioned a few times. You've got to obey me, it says so in the Bible. But also has lots of warnings to parents about driving their children mad or frustrating them or annoying them. And it's good to pray over children in their sleep. I was just looking at a little child there, Rebecca. Glorious. Do encourage you to pray over her while she's asleep. It's amazing how God blesses the prayers of parents when they're praying over their children. I remember going to a friend's house and she was just putting her daughters, about six at the time, to bed. She said, "Come on, Francis, come and pray with me, pray for my daughter." So I said, "Okay," so I went upstairs. And after a short prayer, I said, "I'm sorry, Margaret, but I've got to go. A friend of mine's ill." "Well," said the daughter sitting up in bed, "why aren't we praying for her?" Out of the mouths of babes and infants. And children are important to God, but so is the state of marriage. Jesus attended and supported weddings, as we read in John's Gospel. You remember that's where he performed his first miracle. And you can see from that, he wasn't someone who didn't want us to celebrate. Think of, I forget how many pints it was now, was it 2,500 pints of the best wine they'd ever tasted? But here we see Jesus affirming the celebration of marriage. On the third day, a wedding took place in Cana of Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples also been invited to the wedding. And even back in Jesus' time, we see the pattern that we have today in churches today, which I think is very interesting. There's a signing of a contract. Lots of people think, well, in Jesus' time, they didn't have proper services and things, you know, just at a celebration. But actually, they signed a contract, rather like our marriage certificate. And they gave and received a ring, also very important. But that ring had great significance for the groom. It was a sign that he was going to really look after his wife, really encompass her. It was a sign he was going to protect her and provide for her for the rest of her life. A very serious and solemn commitment. Mark 10:9. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they're no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. I must admit, I prefer the old version. It says, let no one put asunder. It's also interesting to note that Jesus referred to the wedding banquet in heaven, again affirming the state of wedlock, bride and groom. Matthew 22:8, we read this. Jesus said to his servants, the wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So they went out in the streets and gathered all the people they could find, bad as well as good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked him, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? The man was speechless. As in marriage, we make vows and promises with regard to heaven. It's important that we're in a right relationship with God, accepting Jesus as Lord and Master. I know in the world in which we live today, it was certainly true when I was young, hundreds of years ago, Christians marry non-Christians. Well, sometimes two people who are non-Christians get married. This happened to me. But first I want to read to you from 1 Peter 3. And not everybody's going to like this. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your husbands so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of their lives. In 1 Corinthians 7, God seems to be saying that if one partner of the marriage is Christian, the other half will come to be saved. In verse 14, for the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through a believing husband. And I think this witness as a Christian to one another is so important. When Sylvia and I were married, neither of us were Christians, and Sylvia became a Christian 6 months before I did. But she never let on. She made a bargain with God. And one of our close friends, Hilary, had a baby. It was born with very serious blood infection. And they said it's not to last 24 hours. So it was named in the ambulance on the way to the hospital. And after I got to sleep that night, Sylvia got out of bed and prayed to God. I said she hadn't got a faith as a Christian at that point. Said, God, if you're there, you heal this baby, and I promise I'll give you my life. There's a miracle. The baby was healed. And she became a Christian. But she never told me. Baby, to the amazement of the hospital staff, recovered. We didn't actually go to church at that time, but we had two sets of friends who went to the local church, which met in a scout hut. And they lived just around the corner. With Sylvia's encouragement, they said, these two men you know, they're going to London to hear a guest speaker. Why don't you go? A chap called Billy Graham. I thought, it means nothing to me. They didn't tell me what it was about. I just thought, some guy going to get up and speak, I suppose. They insisted that as a friend, I went with them on the coach. I travelled to London, swearing at them all the way. I was not happy. I did not want to go. But that night, God spoke to me. Spoke to me through the worship and the preaching. And I came home a rejoicing Christian believer. God works in mysterious ways, doesn't he? Amazing ways. And there's different ways, actually, of sharing our faith. One of the friends of mine called Barbara Fenner had a non-Christian husband. She was determined that he had to be saved. So when he came home from work, guess what was playing on the tapes in the house? Christian tapes. On the coffee table was a Christian book. When he went up to his bed, it was a Christian magazine. The more she pushed him, the harder he dug in. And I think it's a very important lesson for us to learn. We can't make people believe in Jesus, but we can put them in a situation where they can hear about Jesus and we can show them Christian love. The marriage vows are so important in part of this, I think. When we get married, we promise to love. And love doesn't not just a sloppy sort of love, but a deep Christian love, an agape love, love that goes the extra mile, love that makes things continue for good in the family home. We promise to honour one another and worship one another. We promise to witness to our children. It says so much about our behaviour and the regular Sunday worship. And it's so important for the Christian to show more love to the non-Christian. Love is so powerful. It's the most important power in the world. And our gospel of Jesus is a gospel of love. John 3:16, God so loved the world. And we're called here in this family of this church to love one another. Bringing up a family is really an easy task. We have lots of struggles. But it's one in which God can help us and guide us. And so much depends on our daily relationship with him. So much depends upon us living with the word of God on our hearts. You remember when Jesus being tempted by the devil in the desert? How did he win that battle? He quoted words from the Old Testament. Now, if Jesus needed to use the words of Scripture to win a battle, how much more do you and I? We need the word of God on our hearts. And going back to where we started, remember that children are a gift from God. As he's made you, each one of you, so he's made them. They're precious and they're special. Each one has its own angel beholding the face of God. We really need to thank God here in this church for the children that are here. You've seen them stream out after the second drama, I think it was, or before the drama. Lots of children coming here to hear about Jesus. And it's our job as a church, it's our calling as a church, to teach them the things of Christ. I pray today, too, for anyone here who don't know Jesus. Today is the day. Today is the day. You're in the right place at the right time. So if you want to know more about the Lord Jesus, ask. We've got Dennis Pastor here and loads of others here who are willing to speak to you. So let's celebrate today. Let's thank God for this young child who hasn't cried, I don't think, yet. Amazing. How do you do, Izzy? Oh, she's smiling too. Lovely. So let's celebrate as the family of God here in this place, with this beautiful young baby in our midst too. And let's continue to pray for families here in this church. And for those who are, I was going to say, not in a family, but are bereaved or on your own, you can pray for the families here in this church. Families are central, I believe, to God's calling to us as a church. We need to pray for them. So I urge you too to pray for all the youngsters, all the parents, all the grandparents, all those involved in a young person's life. Let's pray as we sit. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of children. We thank you for the joy that they can bring us, Lord. We thank you for the miracle of birth. From just a small speck of whatever, you bring out bones and a brain and eyes and a head and everything in the right place, Lord, and we're amazed. We thank you for that miracle of birth, Lord. We pray too for any here today who don't yet know Jesus. Lord, let today be the day when they come into the marvelous light of Christ. So, Lord, be with us, be in our conversations, be in our relationships, be in our fellowship, be in all that we say and do, because at the end of the day, we want Christ to be lifted up and glorified. In his name we pray. Amen.
Just a few notices before we sing our last song together. If you are someone who comes here regularly and you need a rota for the next month, they're now available. A reminder that the elders and deacons are meeting tomorrow evening for prayer. And we particularly want to pray about families in the church. So if there are particular needs or situations you'd like us to pray for, will you email them in or let one of us know today? There is a church meeting on Wednesday evening for church members. Next Sunday, Andy Garlick's going to be coming round to the various congregations just to talk a little bit about Sports Reach, the Sports Reach Soccer School. That we're going to be running in April. We've done this for a number of years now. And next Sunday, we shall be taking up an additional special offering to help defray the costs of putting that mission to children on. I think it normally costs us about £1,000 or... I'm looking at Andy. It's about £1,000, isn't it?
About
£1,500. £1,500. Oh, dear. Okay. Oh, I'll just have to pray more then. We're looking for £1,500 extra next week. It's not a lot when you say it fast, is it? But just pray about that. The other thing I wanted to mention, and this may particularly interest visitors here, we put this course on quite regularly. It's called an Alpha course. We're ready almost to start two more of these, a daytime one and an evening one. And these are courses which really help explain what Christianity is about in quite a relaxing way, normally in the context of having a meal together. It's designed primarily for people who don't go to church. It's open to anybody who'd like to attend. Guests come for all sorts of different reasons. And it's normally a great time. And if you're interested in doing an Alpha course, I've left some forms out through where we're going to have a cup of tea in a moment. We'd love you all to stay and share, chatting together. But having said that, we'd really like to clear this room as quickly as we can, because we've got another service at 6:30, and that the musicians will be wanting to come in and get ready for that. So if we can be out of here within 5 or 10 minutes, that would be great. Refreshments will be served through next door in the manor house. Sorry for the mess. We're in the middle of an extension. You know what that means if you've ever had one in your house. We're in the middle of an extension, and to cap it all, the dishwasher's packed up. So we're using disposable cups and saucers and things today. So do stay if you're able to. Let's stand and sing our last hymn together.
Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart, be all else but not to me, save that thou art. Be thou my last thought in the day, and that night, waking and sleeping,
very much for coming today. Services are at the usual times next week. Let's close with the words of the grace. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.